This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Adeline, JPC.
Oh, Aaron, you're glowing. What's happening?
You might notice that I'm in a good mood today. I'm feeling super creative. My mood's good. My focus is right here with you two. I'm feeling very present. Want to know why?
Probably Schedule 35, right?
Yeah, it's nothing we did. It's got to be Schedule 35.
It's definitely nothing you guys did. It is Schedule 35.
Yeah, you don't have to say it like that, but yeah, Schedule 35 is a Canadian-based startup that ships across Canada and the U.S., and their mission is to educate and enrich lives with deeper meaning and a better sense of self through micro-dosing psilocybin products.
Studies have shown, Aaron, I'm sure you've heard this, that psilocybin works by creating new neural networks in the brain, which help boost focus, creativity, mood enhancement, and help fight addiction.
Mm-hmm. I love the tea, especially the mango dragon fruit. It's perfect. Tiny little microdose. Amazing.
Aaron, if you love the tea, sit down and let me tell you about yourself. Just kidding. I don't totally know what that means. But I do know that Schedule 35 ships all across Canada and the U.S. and is the most notable brand currently operating in the space. All products come with guides that make microdosing easy. And all customers need to be age verified. So once you're age verified, 19 plus in Canada and 21 plus in the US, you're going to receive an invite code. And so for all the products and to get your invite code, visit www.schedule35.co. That's just .co.
And Aaron, since you've been microdosing, I hooked you up with a date tonight. It's Micro Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Aaron. It's me, Micro Mike. And I'd love to dose you on a date. I'm sorry. I'm nervous.
Don't wait up.
We won't wait up for Aaron. You don't need to wait up for us. So get 15% off with code Riddle at schedule35.co. That's 15% off at schedule35.co and use code Riddle.
Oh, Aaron. Ooh, I just sneezed and your date went flying.
That's okay.
The doctor was the mother. He stood on a block of ice.
All right, step up, step up, step up. Anyone can play, anyone can win. You, ma'am. What, you want to play? You look like a smart, sharp cookie, huh? You want to play?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, I'll give it a shot.
All you have to do is guess how many jelly beans are inside.
Inside what?
Of me.
How many jelly beans
do you think I've had today?
You look pretty sick.
Very sick.
You look a little dizzy.
Very sick.
Let's see.
You have to put a dollar in the jar if you want to play.
Actually, ma'am, we have a dollar, give a holler right over here. We have a different game. Follow the mouse. Where is he going to stop? You want to follow the mouse and see where he's going to stop? Inside of me?
Where's the mouse? Did you already swallow him?
Yes, ma'am. And there's numbers all inside of me. Where's the mouse going to stop? Wave a dollar, give a holler.
You don't want to play that game, man. That game's impossible to win. You want to guess the jelly beans, huh? No mice, no tricks. The jelly beans stay still.
I don't know. His leg is moving. That might mean the mouse is in the leg. What game?
He's got live mice in his pants. Don't be confused. Come over to the jelly beans game.
I'll say 100 jelly beans and the mouse is in your butt.
Okay,
we pay her the dollar. How does this work?
All right.
Damn it. Damn.
Step right up over here. Anyone who can solve the riddle gets to be smug about it.
Ooh, I'm out of Orphi. I'd like to play that game.
And I'll play that game. I'm GPC.
And I'm Aaron, and I guess I'll play that game.
And welcome to Hey Riddle Riddle, a podcast about riddles where there's also other stuff as well as the riddles.
Did anyone else have
nailed it?
Anyone else growing up go to carnivals and there was that mouse game?
I have no idea.
You guess the mouse inside the person?
Really?
But I will look it up. Mm-mm.
So it was a mouse inside a little container. That sounds terrible. In a big container, and it was basically a wheel, like a wheel of fortune. And each pie or segment of the wheel had like a letter of the alphabet or a number or a color. And then the outside of the tent that you're playing at would have those colors, and you put a dollar on whatever. And if the mouse stops or goes into the hole that's based on that color, you win double your money or something.
Sorry, man, we all didn't grow up in the big city with live mice, Richie Rich, Mr. Millionaire.
All right. Okay, maybe they did away with that, but it was a fun while it lasted.
I Google imaged it, and I don't recognize it.
Huh. Chicago also has turtle races. There's a bar that does turtle races.
Real turtles?
Real turtles, Aaron.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Adel, is there anything else that you want to talk about, or you just want to keep going on with this part?
What else? I come from a small town. What else is weird about small towns? I'd rather talk about something else, which is a guest we have on the show today. Yes. Ooh. You might know her from College Town podcast. You might know her from Wild Horses, her improv group. Please welcome a different Aaron from Hingham, Massachusetts, Aaron Whitehead.
Hi. Woo! Your turtle racing made me think of when my grandpa would let us race the lobsters before he would boil them.
Okay, I'm from a small town. That's insane.
What and then did you get to hear the lobsters scream while they were boiled? Pretty fun.
I just heard them click, you know, click across the floor. And then, of course, we were eating grilled cheese because we were little kids and had no interest in lobster. But
that is so funny.
So you would put down the lobsters and race them?
Yeah.
Would they stay in a straight line or would they veer off?
I mean, they just clicked around. I'm sure they were just terrified and they were like, what? This is not what the others told us would happen, you know.
was there a winner or a loser or did everyone die? Like, was it like a presidential pardon with a turkey where like one turkey gets to go?
Yeah. Can you imagine if my grandpa set it up like that? Like, you better train your lobster good because that's the one that gets to go back to the sea.
All the kids are crying and painting racing stripes on the lobster.
Yeah. The lobster that was like $45 a pound. And you're like, yep, I'm just going to throw it back into the sea.
Yeah, I was like, come on, pinchers, come on. Fight for your life, pinchers. So you can see your son graduate, pinchers, go.
And I have to imagine there's 100 different pinchers every time one loses. We just get another pinchers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, before we started recording, we did find out that both Aarons were originally from Hingham. Which is wild.
It's wild.
That's crazy.
I've never met anyone else from Hingham. Yeah.
Is it a big town?
No. I mean, I think it's
a fucking
small
ghost town, man. I've been there.
You, JPC, drove by my house when I was not there, didn't go in, and just took a photo outside my house when he was in Massachusetts once.
It was raining. It was raining pretty hard. It was a flood. It was a torrential downpour.
This was, I was just watching Love is Blind, and one of the guys, or maybe one of the girls, did this. And the guy was like, you're so creepy. You, like, drove by my house and took a picture. And I was like, this seems like something that you always do if you drive by a friend's house. Like, it did not strike me as creepy, but.
Aaron, you watch Love is Blind, you're going to fit in just fine.
Let me ask a question.
Yeah.
Would any of you ever go to, like, the house that you grew up in or, I don't know, a house that you had lived in previously and, like, knock on the door and say, I lived here and in whatever year and I'd like to come, would you let me come in and see the house? Would any of you ever do that?
I would.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would. I remember my mom and her sisters, we were driving in South Boston and they went and did that at their childhood home when I was little. And the people were super nice and were like, yeah, come in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now,
we tried it. Go ahead.
Oh, no, please.
No, my mom and I drove out to like the desert out by Joshua Tree because I think my great great grandfather had built a little house out there. And so we went to it and we knocked, but it was like the people had like American flags in the windows instead of curtains.
Oh, yeah.
And like they did not even want us on the property, much less want to let us have a tour. So I took I snapped a quick pic of her by a big cactus and we left.
Now, to me, that actually seems relatively normal. Like, if someone knocked on my door right now and they're like, we used to live here 30 years ago and we'd love to come in and say, I'd be like, great. Well, enjoy the rest of your day. Like, that's not happening. Like, there's no way that's happening.
Once they get inside, they might be like, oh, that's my jewelry box. I love that. And then you're like, well, wait a minute.
I'm not really worried about them like taking anything really. I just don't think it's like that's just not a necessary, like, you don't need to go the rest of your life experiencing what the house looks like now that I live in it. Like, It's fine if you don't have that experience.
The whole, from what I've, because this has happened, I feel like, in reality shows or whatever, and the whole thing seems to be, oh, look what you've done to the place. Mm. Look how you've changed it. And it's like, well, that doesn't make sense. Why do you need to see what I've done to the place? Like, you just remember how you remembered it. And
I don't know. I get it. Yeah. I would do it.
No, thanks.
I would do it and lie. I'm going to just try every house and go, I used to live here.
Really? See if we built this house last year.
Yeah, that would be a great way to see the interior, though. I mean, there's so many houses that I really want to see, and I should just be like, so this house was actually built by my great aunt. We had to sell it to pay for her treatments. She had bad acne.
But that can be expensive because it's not covered by insurance.
My great grandma, yeah. Rebecca Gayhart. Aaron, we have to ask you, what is your, not just your relationship with houses, what is your relationship with riddles, with puzzles, with lateral thinking problems,
escape rooms?
What do you think? How do you feel?
Okay, let me go through them. Riddles, I love from like literature where it involves riddles, but I never guess it. So this will give you a hint as to how this might go today. Like Harry Potter, even though I spit on her name now, and anything like the Goonies or like anything where they had to like solve a riddle to get to the next level, I'm riveted by, but not great at. Escape rooms, I think it really has to be the right group. I did not enjoy it with the group I did it with. It was high tension.
Let's name names. Who'd you go with?
It was just a lot of grabbing of things if you're not going fast enough. And I was like, this is, you know, I'd rather die in here with you guys than be grabby. I recently finished my first like big puzzle by myself this last winter because I was staying at a friend's house and he had left like a 1,000-piece puzzle. I hate puzzles. I was always like, life is so hard and you want to take a picture that's already done and then break it and then make me put it back together. Like, it just feels so
unnecessary. I never thought about it like that. That is a total waste of time.
It feels like so stressful to me. Like, I remember having a dream when I was, sorry, my earphones are so annoying. I remember having a dream when I was a little kid. It was a fever dream that I had to count every fish under the sea. And that's what puzzles feel like to me. Like, it's just so hard. But I got into a real zone and I actually did have like a peaceful, focused time. And I was like, okay, maybe I get puzzles now. So
I'm so happy to hear that because puzzles, Mariah and I went to this my wife and I went to this bagel place and they had like, we were like waiting for our order and they just had a big puzzle on a table and she completely lost me. I was like, okay, I got to be over here by the puzzle. I got to put the pieces in the puzzle. And I was just having like the best time. And she's like, the bagels are ready. It's time for us to go. And I was like, oh no, but I have so much more puzzle to do.
It really is like a zone. Like I would be like hovering with a piece, like standing and then crouching and then like I was like, this is a much more active thing than I ever imagined.
I've many times put together the entire border or frame of a jigsaw puzzle and then been like, that's good enough.
That's sort of the most fun.
Yeah, that's sort of the most fun part.
Are you a crossword puzzle Wordle person?
Wordle every day. I actually forgot to do it for the first time since 2021 recently, and I was so mad. I had like gotten halfway through, got a phone call from a doctor, and then like fully just forgot I hadn't finished it that day, and I was so mad that I broke my streak. But
do you start with the same word usually? Do you mix it up?
I close my eyes and let the universe deliver a word to my head because I love I like to think like maybe I'm in tune with Josh Wordle. By the way, I emailed Josh. His name isn't Josh Wordle, but the guy who invented Wordle. And I was like, I have this Wordle chain that I'm on. It's like two of my oldest friends. You've really like changed our lives because now we wake up every day and we check in with each other and we do Wordle together. And I was like, would you be willing to record a video for my friend's birthday? And he didn't, but he wrote an email back and was like commenting on our starter words and like our styles. It was really cute.
That's
Josh
cool.
Wordle. That's amazing.
Josh Wordle. We have a whole thing where we do bits where we're like, where we work for Josh Wordle and it's like a boring box.
Lions? Ugh, not good enough. Back to work.
Is his last name is like close to Wordle?
It's close
right?
to it. And now I can't remember what Waddle? It is.
Not,
yeah.
I can't either, but I thought that was like the whole thing.
I think it's Wardle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he like made it for his wife or something.
He did over the pandemic. Yeah.
Now for his like aunt's acne treatment.
Now Wordle suggests the existence of a Martle, who's sort of a good version.
Oh yeah.
Like, wow. Wario Mario. I see.
Wordle. Wordle. All right. Enough fun. We have to get to some riddles. So that is exactly what we'll do. Something that happens on the show every once in a while is someone will send us an email to hrrpodcast@gmail.com and hell, maybe they'll put something about riddle submission in the subject line, and maybe the body of the email will contain some riddles. And today, I actually have some pretty fun ones. They were just kind of like back-to-back, which never happens, but it's very cool, where people have invented their own little like riddle games that we're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, now this submitter did not give a name, but they they invented a game, and it's kind of similar to something that we've done on the show before with Sandy. It actually may be even one of the things that we've done on the show before with Sandy, but they're like new additions to it, where they have included, like, the answer to each one of these is going to be a celebrity. But I am going to give you, like, a sentence where that celebrity's name will fit into that'll make grammatical sense in this sentence. So I'm going to present their first and last name as blank blank, and then you have to tell me what celebrity fits into that sentence.
Okay.
We'll do one. I think you'll get it pretty fast, but we'll do one. Okay. So here's your first one. Hey, if you want to see the Suns play, you got to have a ticket. You can't just blank blank arena without paying.
You can't just blank blank arena. Now the Suns famously play at Phoenix Arena.
Okay.
Christopher Walken.
That's pretty.
River Phoenix.
Ooh,
River Phoenix is the closest.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
You can't just walk in Phoenix. Wow.
Okay. So Aaron understands how it's played. Yes. If you want to see the Suns play, you got to have a ticket. You can't just walk in Phoenix Arena without paying. Walk in Phoenix. So it's not always exact, but you now understand. Like they fit in a way. Okay.
Got it.
All right, we have a few more, so let's go to the next one. Aaron has 1 point. Aaron has 0 points. Adel has 0 points. There are no points. We're not.
I will say though, I did not know the Suns played in Phoenix, so that was a group effort. I would not have gotten there.
Good.
Adel just threw that one away. And Adel, do you know is the arena the Phoenix Arena or is it just in Phoenix?
It's in Phoenix. All the arenas are some branded. You know, yeah, it's all right. Like Gatorade Arena or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can't imagine it's just Phoenix Arena. It has to be some sort of sponsorship deal.
Unless the band Phoenix bought an arena. I know they were
French
big.
French band Phoenix.
The early 2000s, they could have made enough. I don't know. Okay, here we go. It was a historic day. Should be an historic. I don't remember who submitted the email, but it should be an historic. Historic is a three-syllable word that begins with an H. It was a historic day for comic strips when Jim Davis picked up a pencil, blank, blank, for the very first time.
Garfield.
Andrew. Hi. Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield.
Wow.
Yes.
Aaron Whitehead is crushing us at our own podcast.
Much like the team that plays in the Phoenix Arena. You guys are, it's a team effort. It's a team effort here. Yes. Garfield.
Very quickly, I will say, Footprint Center is where the Phoenix Suns play their home games.
Wow.
I don't know what Footprint is, though.
That's a poem about Christianity.
Oh, yes. and when there was one set of footprints leading up to the dunk at the at the basket, yeah. That was when you were carrying me.
I was when we forfeited because only one player showed up.
I do want to see a quick scene. Mm-hmm. This will involve Aaron and Aaron. Aaron Keefe, I'd like you to play Jim Davis. Aaron Whitehead, I'd like you to play Garfield. And this is just a scene where Jim Davis has drawn Garfield for the first time and Garfield's come to life and they kind of have a conversation about their future together.
Okay, you know Garfield doesn't speak, but okay, go ahead.
Got his ass. Just smoked him.
Aaron, if you could just read the thought bubbles.
Okay.
And I finish the tale, and I electrocute the piece of paper, and here we go.
Whoa.
Hello?
I'm so hungry.
For what?
If I could pick anything. I just came into existence, but I want to say the word lasagna. Does that make any sense to you?
I did it. I drew him right. It does. And Garfield, how do you feel about Mondays?
Shut the fuck up. don't you say that word to me. I work all week. Monday's the worst day.
Incredible. I made him in my image. I love it. And Garfield, does your ex-wife hate you too?
Jim, listen. I know this is why you had to get a drawn cat instead of a cat, because of your wife's allergy, okay? But I've never even gotten them. I thought I was going to get together with Nirmal, and then I found out she wasn't even a girl.
Okay, this is great. Jim, do you want to hang out? What's up?
No, I don't. Could you draw me, first of all, one of the presidents, if possible? And could you draw me maybe a little Pookie? And maybe and maybe a little bit? And maybe, I don't know, a loud-mouthed, big-lipped cat with a long, long neck?
Yeah, I guess I could give it a shot. Draw, 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 draw,
Jim,
draw.
Jim, you don't
draw.
Have to say draw weird. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. Is he still alive? No, right?
I think he is. Yes?
Yeah, I think he is, for sure. Oh.
Jim Davis?
I didn't realize his ex-wife hated him.
I made that up, but maybe.
Oh,
we have
oh
to
okay.
Assume.
I knew that
assume.
They didn't have a cat, even
oh.
though, and I think
oh,
it was because she was allergic. Yeah.
So almost like how Josh Wordle invented Wordle for his wife, Jim Davis invented Garfield
yeah.
so his wife could have a cat.
And that's how the rubber gloves were invented too, is a guy, his wife like worked in the medical field and her hands would get chapped. And so he felt bad for her and he invented rubber gloves. And that's true. I just learned that fact.
Her hands were chapped from like being in bodies.
Don't ask questions.
Sure,
think about
I don't
it
mind the blood
hair.
And viscera, the but the
really chapness. Dries the hands.
Now, Nermal famously was shipped to, I want to say, like Looney Tunes cities, where it was like Timbuktu or Kalamazoo, right?
Yeah, places like Abu Dhabi, places that don't exist and never
yes.
have,
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure. I do wonder now, of all of the inventions that were like invented for a spouse, you know, to like help them with their life, but then became like huge things that were bigger than the spouse. Does the spouse still feel good about that? Or are they like, great, this was invented for me for like to connect with my, you know, husband or whatever, but now they're spending all their time manufacturing rubber gloves. And it's like, where am I left?
I like
Jim
that.
Davis is drawing fucking Garfield all day long now.
Yeah, the Garfield thing would have been, I would have overtaken the marriage for sure. I'm guessing that guy farmed out the making of the rubber gloves to others, but I could be fully yeah. wrong.
The psychopath who's like making the gloves because his wife's hands are chapped, he's going to want to be involved in every facet of the
Sir, can we make more than one size, which is my wife?
Perfect for my wife.
I think I would be real smug about it if someone invented something because of me. I would feel like a muse. I'd be like, I'm just... incredible. It's because of me. I'd bring it up all the time.
Is there something you wish had been invented for you? Like Lunchables pizzas or something? Like
I was gonna say pizza.
All right. I know you too well.
All right, let's do another one. Speaking of know you too well, I don't necessarily know if you're gonna know this one too well, but we're gonna go with it anyway. I might pull up the IMDb to give you some hints, but maybe you'll get it. You may need to be scanned with an X blank blanks. Have formed in your kidney.
Ray Stone? Ray Winstone.
Ray Winstone!
Yes, yes, yes.
Who is
from,
that?
Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
You might know him as one of the CGI'd actors in the most recent Beowulf movie.
Wow.
He always plays like a big brute. He always plays like a menacing... He's British, I believe.
Yes, okay. He's British. I think Ray Winstone is one of our great character actors. I know nothing about him personally. I'm fully willing to throw him under the bus. It turns out he is bad.
But I recognize him.
He's very much... the guy who played... Speaking of Harry Potter, who's the guy who played Mad-Eye Mooney? Who
Mooney?
Has like the famous son? The Scottish guy. He was in Braveheart as well.
Brendan Gleeson?
Brendan Gleeson. So he's like...
Yes.
This guy is like the English Brendan Gleeson.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Ray Winstone's been in like he's got like 140 credits. He was in Cats. He's been in a ton of stuff. But it's also
beast.
One of those guys that I don't know names of actors. I would definitely have to like see him, and someone would have to be like, "That's Ray Winstone." And I'd be like, "Great, I will not remember this tomorrow." Okay, here's your next one. Congratulations, Adel. That was you did a really great job on that.
Thank you.
Here's your next one. After being outside for too long without his gloves. The Arctic explorer was diagnosed with crow blank blank bite in his fingers.
Cro-Magnon? Feet? Crow...
Blank blank. Crow blank blank bite in his
crowbar? Fingers. Crowbar? Crowbar?
Do you think there's a man named Crowbar?
Well, there's a
Crow
there's
Nick
a model
Frost.
Named Bar, right? Bar Raphael or something?
Okay. I don't know.
I think so.
Did you just say Nick Frost?
I did.
Aaron.
That's not it, I guess.
No, Aaron, you did get it right.
I did?
It is Nick Frost.
So wait, can you say the whole sentence with the name slotted in?
Yes. So it's after being outside for too long without his gloves, the Arctic explorer was diagnosed with crow blank blank bite in his fingers.
I see. Chronic
frost bite.
I see.
I get it.
I was like, is there a celebrity with a first name as the flies? No, that's not a thing.
You really wanted to be Crow.
Lord of the Asflies, yeah.
Okay, well, let's do one more. We're going to do one more. Actually, we might be doing a couple more. But we're going to do one more from our unnamed riddle submitter. When I go into battle, I always bring a knife, blank, blank, so I can kill my enemy no matter how close to me they are.
Sterling Sharp.
Sterling Sharp. Close by.
Can you read it again?
Sheath Richards.
Now, if we were playing a different game, Sheath Richards would be an excellent game. I don't know what game that is, but
we'll use
I love
old
the
leather,
answer,
yeah.
Sheath Richards. Yes, I'll read it one more time. When I go into battle, I always bring a knife, blank, blank, so I can kill my enemy no matter how close to me they are.
Bayonet. Michael Bayonet.
Wait, what was the last? I feel like I'm keep not hearing the last part of it. I always bring a knife, blank, blank, what?
So I can kill my enemy no matter how close to me they are.
Oh.
You know what? I'll change it to say no matter how close or far from me they are.
Sword.
Whoa, that changes everything.
Bow and arrow.
Who is Andrew Ninja Star?
And she mom and dad, yes, I legally changed it.
Next.
I'm pulling up the IMDb, and yes, it's Andrew Ninja Star.
JBC, can we have a hint?
This is the first one. I think every other one that we've done so far has been an actor. This is the first one that's an actress.
Okay.
I would love if Andrew Ninja Star was in like Gosford Park in all these like Gilded Age movies. This is the first actress, you said.
With a spoon, Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, Reese Witherspoon would be nice. I bring a knife with a spoon.
That is a great guess.
It is not Reese Witherspoon.
Blank, blank, a knife.
Uma Thurman.
Oh,
no.
Aaron, are you trying to
Anne
just
Hathaway.
Guess actors?
No, I'm actually really trying. I'm trying.
I will say that this actor, one of their names, I won't say if it's first or last, is another name for like a weapon.
Mm.
Blade. Abigail Blade. She won an Oscar like 2 years ago. Don't Google it.
Andy McDowell.
A McDowell rod.
Yeah.
I love that answer. That's fantastic.
Is this an unusual name? This person's
no,
first name?
No, I would say that both of the names are Emily Blunt. Okay, but no, it's not. I think both of these names, first and last, are pretty normal.
Okay. Machine gun
whatever
Kelly
that
Osborne.
Means.
Okay.
But I take immediate offense to that. I will also say, look, I think
Anna
this
Gunn.
Person, Aaron, it's Anna Gunn.
Oh my
knife,
gosh.
Anna Gunn. Wow.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yes, it is bring a knife and a gun. Aaron, I want to see a quick scene. So this is going to be, we'll do a scene between all three of you, Aaron, Adel, and Aaron. But Aaron Keefe. You are showing up. It's like the day before a battle. You guys are like a civilian militia. And Aaron, you are showing up with what you think are weapons, but what no one else thinks are weapons.
Wait, which Aaron?
I'm sorry, Aaron. This is my fault. Aaron Keefe, you are the one showing up to the day before the battle with fake weapons.
And sorry, which Adel?
And we are just other people.
Yeah, you're just other people in the militia. You're okay. You know what you're doing.
I think what Aaron Whitehead is trying to get at is, can she play Andrew Ninja Star?
Yeah.
Am I this bad at this? No, when Adel did it, great. It seemed so easy. And now it's not.
I'm bad at listening. I don't know what's happened to me lately.
Okay. I have a. Here we go.
God, this sucks.
Great. Thank you.
Oink, oink, oink. No. Okay.
Oink, oink, oink. Okay, let's see what I have in my bag here. I got a hatchet just in case. Yeah. Yeah, have a broadsword. Ooh, whoosh, whoosh.
Y'all know I brought my spoon because I'm Reese Witherspoon. I'm always with my spoon.
Deadly with a spoon. Deadly.
Hey guys, just pulling up with my wagon, dragging my wagon of all my weapons.
Hey,
I hope you read the book this month.
Mm-hmm. I did, and I'm ready to fight.
All right, well, the book club happens first, and then we get down to killing.
I cannot wait. I brought all sorts of weapons, so if you guys run out, I'm your gal.
So, why do we think it was called Maniac McGee?
You know, that was my question too. I said, is the title trying to make me, you know, judge the book before I've even read it?
So sorry to interrupt you guys. Do you think that there's going to be plugs on the battlefield, like outlets? Because I brought my blender, and I was going to start with my blender as my weapon.
Be prepared for any terrain is what I always say. Now, the front cover is legs and shoes. Now, does he run like a maniac? Is that what we're to intuit?
Well, the shoes are untied, and so I wonder if it's a, you know, if it's a symbol of how his disorganization, you know, and it's if it's that sort of.
I'm starting to feel insecure. Sorry to interrupt the book club. Reese, love you. You truly are changing the way that
thank you
people
so much.
Read. I'm starting to feel a little insecure about my weapons. Do you think anthropology mugs are good, bad? No, these are good. I can throw them. This will hurt someone, right?
I think so far you're just naming things that go with spoons. I think we'll be fine. You guys, I think we plan too much when it comes to battle. I think we need to focus more on the book club, honestly.
We overthink it. Yeah, the only thing anthropology mugs is hurting is your wallet. Those are $98 a piece, ceramic. I've seen it. Now, I think Maniac McGee, you know, I think he overthought about his life, you know, where he fit in the grand scheme of things.
Are you trying to do my southern accent back at me? Because that's what it sounds like.
Don't do that to Reese. She hates it. Do you think this blanket will work in battle?
Scene.
I'm an empath.
Okay, so it was, you guess we're on the south's side. We're not going to really engage too much.
You don't know what battle it was.
I don't, yeah. And I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Don't tell
James, if you must know, is South versus Deep South. So we're actually the good guys.
We're the good guys.
We're the good guys. Okay, we have two more because these were so much fun that I was like, oh, I want to write some. So we have two more that I wrote. Here we go. I feel bad for the poor man working for the owner of the nuclear power plant when blank blankers finally grow a spine and stand up to him.
Blank blankers, nuclear power plant.
The poor man working for the
George Foreman. George Foreman.
Nuclear power plant.
What's the name for employees at a nuclear power plant?
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
Homer's
engineers.
The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I like that. Follow that. Follow that.
Ooh.
Oh.
When
Homer.
When blank blankers finally grow a spine and stand up to him.
Blank blankers.
Simpsons.
Homer. When
I feel bad.
OJ. When will the OJ Simpsons finally stand up to him?
She got it. Just admit that she got it, JP.
A knife and a gun.
When OJ Simpsoners finally grow a spine and stand up to him, it almost fits, but it doesn't. There's another man who works for the owner of the nuclear power plant. It's not Homer.
Oh, Smithers.
Okay. Yes.
Does he work?
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, but Smithers is not the answer to this.
Okay. Lenny and Carl?
When blank blankers finally grow a spine and stand up to him.
So Lenny, Carl, Homer.
Smith? Go back.
It's Smith.
No.
Something Smith. Will Smith. When will Smithers?
Thank you, Aaron. Yes.
Will
that
Smith
was
is
really
in the
hard.
Simpsons?
No. Smithers is, and it's Smith and then ers.
Oh.
I feel bad for the poor man working for the owner of the nuclear power plant. When will Smithers finally grow a spine and stand up to him? And it is Will Smith.
Good job, Aaron.
That was a very tricky one.
I don't even feel good about it.
I'm very tricksy. Okay, here's another one. This is... I can't even believe... I'm looking at this. I must have written this weeks ago. I can't believe it. I go to this well way too often. Here we go. The mechanic told me they couldn't replace my odometer with the original part, but they did have an aftermarket blank blank that could do the same thing.
Oh, JPC, you sweet, sweet fool.
Damn it.
It's a Miles Teller.
Yeah.
Not my tempo.
I talk about Miles Teller too much, and I feel like it's always on the top of my brain, tip of my tongue.
That's I always try and get into a car when someone's like, is that your car? I go, not my tempo. A tempo is a type of car, right? Nissan Tempo? Yes, must be. It has to be.
I know that there are actors with crazy names, but Miles Teller has to be. It's egregious. It just, there's no way that that's that man's real name. Like, that's not.
I think most actors are using their real names.
Yeah.
Miles Teller. That doesn't strike me as a weird name.
But a Miles Teller is an odometer.
Oh, well, see, yeah. I did not know that. So I would never have gotten, even if I had thought of his name, I would not have thought of this answer. So
okay.
I do want to see a scene. Aaron Whitehead and JPC, mm-hmm. You are new parents. And you are, I'm sorry, let's say Aaron Whitehead and JPC, you are about to be new parents and you are sitting down a few months in to try and discuss potential baby names that are unique.
Honey, before we start, just are you sure you want to keep it? It's your choice. I just want to, again, I know we've talked about this. I just want to be sure.
And I just want to ask, because we're having this conversation again.
Yeah.
This is not a trick, right? Like, you're not...
Baby, I'm being a feminist here. Okay, I just want to make sure you are making the choice that you want for your body. Your baby. It's your baby, really.
Yeah, no. I want what you want? Does that... Is that...
Are we going to have that conversation? Great.
Not if we don't have to.
Oh, listen. Well, again, it's you know, you're my queen. It's what you want. Whatever. Let's get to names. Let's get to hypothetically, if we keep the baby, what would we name it?
Exactly. That's such an easier conversation. And like, because when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, what kind of life are they going to have? Will they have the same life that I had? If they will, the answer is no. We're not keeping the baby.
Okay, so that's back on the table.
But I'm not. I just don't. I want to give them everything that I didn't have. Right. Okay. So they can't go through life, you know, having a name like Asshole Johnson.
I love your name, Asshole.
I love my name too, but like I'm 35. Like, I've grown into Asshole Johnson. But,
sure. When you were a little girl, it was embarrassing. I know. Yeah, you got
it. It was a battle.
Yeah.
And of course, like, you know, it's the reason we met. I don't think I ever would have met you in the support groups if I didn't have the name Asshole Johnson.
Well, and if I didn't have the name, you know, Scrotum Willis.
And of course, we met in AA.
We should never have exchanged full names.
It's funny because you just went by Scrotum and I just went by Asshole. And I think that we just kind of clicked. Because if you had gone by Willis and I'd gone by Johnson, I think it would have been nothing.
Why didn't we, though? Why did it not occur to us to ever just go by our very normal last names?
There was a guy next to me, and I think his name was Jackson, and I got self-conscious. Because I was like, that's too close. People are going to think I'm making up a fake name.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't want the baby to go through what we went through.
No.
What's the clitoris? Least embarrassing body part? What'd you say?
He said clitoris, which I actually think is kind of pretty.
Mom, you're not involved in this. Jesus, just because we live with you does not mean you get fucking
into it. I don't know. Don't listen to Mom. Mom,
get out of the basement, Mom.
Sorry.
And I always thought backflip caramel corn for a boy.
God damn it. I can't believe we taught the dog to talk.
JPC, did you write any more, or are we done here?
No, we're done. Hey, Aaron, why don't you take a break? We'll all take a break.
Right.
And we'll be back after this brief break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Oh, Adel, Aaron, quick, everybody, quick, please, come over. I've hurt my.
What?
Mental health?
JPC, you should try BetterHelp. Try BetterHelp.
Yeah, okay, try BetterHelp. Yeah, okay, because I've hurt my mental health. I fell and I hit my mental health on the ground.
JPC, we all carry around different stressors, big or small. Mm-hmm. I get it. I've been using BetterHelp for many years, and it works perfectly for my brain. I can message my counselor anytime. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to my schedule. All I had to do was fill out a brief questionnaire, and I got matched with a licensed therapist right away. And also, I can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Yeah, JPC, therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Anytime you play JP Riddles, I have to talk to my therapist and be like, is he real? Can he get me in my dreams, etc.?
Yep.
You have to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And for me, it's being terrified that JP Riddles is going to get me.
I mean,
you're in my brain, dude. I have the same thing.
Have you guys talked to your therapist about the podcast? I mean, I, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Oh,
have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Primarily.
It is a lot about the podcast when I talk to my therapist.
That's so funny.
And if you're thinking of starting a podcast or maybe even starting therapy, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/riddle today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/riddle.
But don't take it from us. Take it from JP Riddles.
I will have to talk to my therapist before I'm allowed to do JP Riddles.
That makes
again.
Sense. No, that makes sense.
Makes sense. I understand that boundary. Okay, class, take a seat. Take a seat. We are going to talk about VPNs today.
My weird cousin?
Nope.
The joke there is that I'm JPC and VPN is also three letters. And it's like the joke
Who
there.
Who are you talking to? It looks like you're addressing a camera or something.
Sorry, ma'am.
VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and privacy online. VPNs create an encrypted tunnel for your data, protect your online identity by hiding your IP addresses, and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. It's all about internet safety.
Oh, teacher, I have a question. Do I have to know all this stuff about a VPN, or can I just use NordVPN? Like,
oh,
shouldn't I?
So you know about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know about my weird cousin from Scandinavia, NordVPN, which is for a future ad. We'll do that for a future ad. That's actually really good.
Ooh, and teacher. Cousin.
Yes, Adam?
I actually brought you an Apple with NordVPN inside of it for you. And I've also
nice.
Heard that NordVPN is easy to use, connects with one click, or you can enable auto connect for zero click protection is what I've heard.
Oh, okay. You guys know way more than I thought you did about this.
Yeah, like NordVPN has like 6,300 plus servers in 111 countries, so you can change your virtual location easily if you want to access maybe something that is not available in your area. Or but, if you're like me and you one time go to Mexico and say, I'm going to download stuff when I get there, then realize that you're in another country and you can't watch all your favorite shows until you use your NordVPN.
But do you know that it has amazing speed?
Yeah.
It's one of the fastest VPNs out there?
Yeah, I did know that. I knew that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and teacher, respectfully, duh, if that makes sense.
Okay. Well, one NordVPN account can be used on six devices, but I guess you already knew that.
And with the most respect, do possible in this moment, duh, is what I would have to say.
If that makes sense, teacher, duh.
If that makes sense to you. But don't take our word for it. Wait, no, do take our word for it. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Strike that. Take our word for it, and also don't take our word. Here's what you do. Go to NordVPN.com/riddle and find out for yourself what NordVPN can do for you.
And teacher, I'm actually going to Antarctica to like this research lab because there's this dog on the loose and I think I'm going to try and catch the dog and that's going to be good.
A reference.
It's the plot to The Thing, the Kurt Russell movie, The
Thank
Thing.
Thank you.
I downloaded it on my NordVPN.
Got it.
Hey, Riddle Riddle would like to thank Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Hey, Adel.
Yeah.
Do you want to see my impression of me last week when I had really bad allergies and I wasn't doing anything with it?
Oh, gosh, I feel so sick and can't even do anything.
Oh, my. Doesn't that sound just like me?
Yeah, that is you to a T. That is a great impression. You should have a Vegas residency. Aaron Keefe does Aaron Keefe.
I keep writing them and they keep saying, who is this?
The city.
But luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better.
It did not sound like me last week.
Mary Keefe.
Oh, that's so good, Adel. That was so... Ooh. Okay. No, it's fine. It's good that you're good at my impression, too.
Yeah,
that's...
maybe I should go to Vegas. I have seasonal allergies myself, and I feel like anytime I step outside in the spring, in the summer... Eyes turn red, itchy. My contacts come out. My nose is running. Claritin D tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies, which is the worst part. That your nose dripping or being congested and you feel like pressure right at the bridge of your nose. That's the worst.
That's the worst, Aaron. I'm Aaron Keefe.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Can you believe JPC turned into an owl?
That's fun. That's good that we're acknowledging this. Yes.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
It works in like 30 minutes. And so I don't have to sound like this anymore. Oh, I'm Aaron Keefe.
Aaron Keefe is live in 5 minutes at the Luxor in Las Vegas.
The Luxor?
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. That's good. No, that's okay.
It's like $20 a night.
That's okay.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We all agreed we liked this. We liked that game, huh?
Oh yeah,
we love it.
Loved
so,
it.
We so why don't we play a completely different game now? And we'll and hey, maybe we end up liking this game even more.
I don't know. Nobody likes change.
No. Good point.
Thank you for laughing. I stole that from friends.
Holds up. Good writing. Right. Holds up.
This one.
So, JPZ, you're saying, thank you, Aaron. You're saying we're pivoting.
God, and that sucks.
I saw that from friends.
God, this sucks. Stop using my voice against other people. God, this sucks. No, don't even use it against me. How dare you?
All right. This one comes with a little bit of a story, and I really do like this, because these come from Bailey. And Bailey writes, these are called Klingz, C-L-I-N-G-Z, with an exclamation point, which is a puzzle game that their high school band teacher came up with.
Hmm.
And I'll be interested to know if anyone else has ever heard of this puzzle game, because I would love it if a high school band teacher tried to pass off a puzzle game they picked up somewhere else as their own, and there was like a generation of high school students that are like, yeah, our band teacher was so smart.
Am I crazy, or does Klingz, C-I-L-N-G-Z, does that sound like Bratz dolls, like needy boyfriends? Like you buy a separate doll that's like their needy little boyfriends?
These are Klingz.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I think Klingz in general is bad branding for a like a word puzzle game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this person was a band teacher, not a marketing professional.
Fair.
So every answer is a combination of two or more phrases that connect over a shared word or sound.
Cool.
I'll give you an example. Once you get the example, I think that you'll get it. So your example is, here's your like phrase. Francie Nolan and Detective Peralta cut down the tree's trunk and made a boat and sailed away, and the tree was very happy.
Whoa, what?
Is it the Giving Tree? The Brooklyn 99 Giving Tree?
Okay, so there's one thing that connects those two things together. You've got the Giving Tree and you've got Brooklyn 99.
Okay.
There's a third phrase.
Wait.
There's a third
I don't phrase. Think I understand. Say
yeah, me neither.
Okay, so Francie Nolan and Detective Peralta cut down the tree's trunk and made a boat and sailed away, and the tree was happy. Adel, I think you clued into Detective Peralta there.
Yeah.
And then all the stuff about the tree is from the Giving Tree.
Paddle your own canoe, Brooklyn 99.
No, it's the Giving Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another missing phrase in between that connects to Brooklyn 99.
Okay.
Oh, a tree in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Oh,
a tree grows in Brooklyn.
A tree grows in Brooklyn.
A tree,
so it would
the Giving Tree in the Giving Tree grows in Brooklyn
99.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a long
one. Oh, God.
That's hard.
Holy
crap. So can this be a group effort?
Unfortunately, no.
But we just did the first one as a group effort. The three of us helped the first one.
The guest is not always right. Okay.
Of course.
We are not
hospitable. Just like on Friends.
This can be a group effort. I don't know how you would ever get these without it, because some of these, like a tree grows in Brooklyn. What is that? I'm not even
it's
sure
a book.
What that is. It's a book.
Yeah, okay. I think it's like a young adult book from the 80s, 90s. Yeah.
A la Maniac McGee.
So that must be Francie Nolan must be a character from Tree Goes in Brooklyn.
I haven't read it in so long.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
That's fine. So yes, it can be a group effort, because you might need all three of you to put your brains together to come up with these answers. Here's your next one. As his adrenaline kicked in, Rimsky-Korsakov had to make a choice. Which option would give him the best chances of staying alive?
I have to assume adrenaline kicked in. That has to be Jason Statham's character from Crank.
It has to be. No, it's not. It's not okay. Jason Statham's character from Crank.
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, staying alive. Saturday Night Fever or John.
You're on the right track with staying alive, but it's not Saturday Night Fever. Bee Gees.
Bee Gees.
You got Bee Gees. Yes.
Okay.
And also, I'll tell you this. When you get one, I'll tell you where it goes. So Bee Gees is the very last one.
Could you read it again?
As his adrenaline kicked in, Rimsky-Korsakov had to make a choice which option would give him the best chances of staying alive.
Now, did Korsakov write the score Flight of the Bumblebee?
I have to assume so. That is the second answer. So you've got Flight of the Bumblebee.
Flight of the Bumblebee-Gees.
Uh-huh.
So Flight must be, is it Denzel Washington's character from, what's that movie, Flight?
So okay, something so that ends with, the phrase that ends with Flight.
Fight or Flight of the Bumblebee-Gees.
It is or Flight of the Bumblebee-Gees.
And high school kids were solving this in band?
I didn't understand any part of any of that whole riddle.
I can see Erin walking away from the podcast. We're scaring her. GPC, do an easier one, please.
I guess I'm fresh out of
I mean, because I get killed at the end of this if I don't win enough points. Is that how, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You signed the paperwork.
I did.
Everybody gets killed at the end. I mean, that's the end, yeah. Right? That's bleak. Here's your next one. Friar Tuck lifted his mask and whispered to the batter, "Robin Hood's pitching like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get."
Now, Forrest Gumpire is going to be one of them.
Robin Hood walking through the
Merry
forest
Men of the
Gump.
Forest. Merry Men of Sherwood Forest Gumpire?
You nailed it.
Seriously?
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
It is Sherwood Forest Gumpire.
Adam's brain is uniquely broken for this game.
Wow, that is just... To me, the riddle sounds like the answer. Like, I just don't... I understand what we're doing, and I don't understand what we're doing.
And here's the thing. This is how my brain naturally works. Someone please give me a job.
There are no jobs. That Adel, I'm trying to tell you this.
I don't know. I think you could be president. This is big.
Also, Adel, I just got to remind you, you are currently at work. You are doing your job. This
that
is the
right.
job that,
that
you are doing.
Right.
I do want to see a scene. So I love the idea of Friar Tuck being a catcher, but not an umpire. So you're Friar Tuck, Adel, and everyone is coming up to bat, and you are using your like Friar Tuck language to kind of try to get in people's heads.
Hail and well met. Nice to see you at the plate again. Hither and thither, I've requested your presence here today.
Don't talk to me, mate. Come on, I gotta focus.
Oh, Big Stick? What are you, Teddy Roosevelt? Interesting.
How do you know who Teddy Roosevelt is? Strike! Come on!
Yes. Let me whip this ball back to the mound man, is what I call him. You know, Robin Hood just stole something recently. Your mother's heart.
What?
Strike!
Come on!
I gotta go talk to my mound man. 1 second.
Hey, can you pitch right when I right when I psych him out? I feel like you're waiting another 10 seconds.
Just use the hand signals, okay? You spend so much time talking to everyone. You gotta just learn the hand signals. Don't come all the way over here to me, man.
I've told you, mound man, that my left hand is holding my mask and my right hand holds a tankard of mead.
What do you mean, strike? They're all the way over there.
Aha, fooled them. Good job, mound man. Oldest trick in the book.
All right, that is two outs.
You're getting dust all over your hems. Get back there.
Next at bat, it's...
Okay, I'm up to bat.
Oh, are you nervous? I heard a lot of warm-up lips.
Yeah, you have a sunburn in your bald spot.
What?
I'm ready.
Home run!
Yeah! Taking my time, kissing babies.
Come on.
Doing a cartwheel.
Get that baby
around.
Off the field.
Scene.
I love the umpires call strike and ball the same way they call home run.
Yeah, they call home run, right? Mm-hmm. That's...
Well, they have to signal it for sure, but I don't think they yell it.
So, Adel, you nailed that last one. Let's see if you can keep the streak alive. Here's your next one. As she pulled the master sword from the Triforce pedestal, F. Scott's wife was finally confident that she could defend herself and her dog from the Darkseekers.
Now, I know Zelda Fitzgerald, but I don't know what
sword
the Darkseekers is. Zelda Fitzgerald's game? Stephen King?
That's Gerald's game. No. Okay. So Zelda Fitzgerald is the last.
So something, The Legend of Zelda Fitzgerald? Yes. No, that would just be two.
You got Legend of Zelda, and you got Zelda Fitzgerald. Now, there's okay.
one more
that
before
you don't
that.
Have.
Oh, is Legend, is that the Tom Cruise movie?
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend. Ooh, Aaron, nice one. Is that
Aaron?
It?
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
No, I don't. I solved it. I Am Legend of Zelda Fitzgerald.
All right. Now, another quick check in with Aaron Whitehead. Aaron, is it making any more sense?
No. Only because I literally know none of these references. If we're doing 90s rom-coms, you know, like, I'd be, what the fuck are these movies? Zelda?
Failure to launch pad?
Maybe? Yeah. Okay, so so this sucks, but I wrote two of them, and one of them does involve a 90s rom-com, so I think, you know what? Was this 90? I think this was 90s. I think this was maybe early 90s, but here we go. These are some, those were from, like I said, from Bailey and Bailey's high school band teacher or whatever. But I don't mind saying that I also invented a game. It's also called Clings. It's played the exact same way.
With three Z's.
It's, yeah, three Z's, because it'll make you sleepy. Or don't sleep on this game. So here's one that I think Aaron Whitehead will have a little more to say about.
Pressure.
Yeah, shit. never mind. This was nothing. The only thing worse than finding out your nemesis is your dad is coming to terms with your daughter's impending wedding to this female-focused monster movie sequel.
Father of the Bride.
Yeah!
Is in there
the
somewhere.
One. Yes.
Okay.
Father of the Bride of Frankenstein?
It is Father of the Bride of Frankenstein.
And where does that go?
Bride of Frankenstein obviously goes after Bride.
Well, yes, but...
Yeah.
Oh, is there
so
a first part?
Third. Yeah, so you need the first part. The only thing worse than finding out your nemesis is your dad is coming to terms with your daughter's impending wedding to this female...
Luke, I am your father of the Bride of Frankenstein.
Aaron, that is almost there. You are so close.
What does that mean? I got it.
It's not Luke, I am your father?
It's not Luke, I am your father. It's commonly misquoted as Luke, I am your father.
No,
but it's...
I'm your father.
Please.
No, I'm your father of the Bride of Frankenstein.
I'm sorry, Aaron. Don't no please me.
Please.
This is a game with an answer.
Please. Once the public decides that something is
again,
a certain
Sam.
Kind of quote, come on. Be
hey, little buddy. No, I'm your father of the Bride of Frankenstein.
Aaron, was that, is Father of the Bride, that's 90s, right?
Yeah.
It's like early 90s? Okay.
Early 90s, yeah.
I am glad that I did say that you said the thing about 90s rom-coms. I said that I had one, and you immediately got it. That one makes me happy.
I know my genre.
This is how I used to play like trivia when I was in college with my smart friends who were like really good at trivia, and we'd go to trivia, and they knew nothing about pop culture, and I knew some things about pop culture. So it's like they would take every 90% of the work, and then there would be like three pop culture questions, and I'd be like, I think that's Kesha. And then the guy like, it's Kesha. And I'd be like, okay, so I got us the one point that I'm going to get us today.
I do think something happens to my brain with trivia. And I think this riddle might be bringing it out where I know things and they go away. And soon something like that. Like I, because some of these movies I do know, despite them not being 90s rom-coms. And I am not thinking of them.
It gets wiped.
Yeah, it's gone.
Father of the Bride is always top of mind for me because every time I'm in Pasadena, I drive by the Father of the Bride.
Such a great house.
Wow.
Yeah.
They must go, like, to live there is to know that a bunch of women are going to sit and park outside and look longingly at your house.
I'm wearing a Father of the Bride sweatshirt right now. Sidekicks was his fake shoe company.
Wow.
What the fuck?
I am so jealous.
What is happening?
Holy shit.
The synchronicity today is really a little bit wild.
This is very, that first Hingham, and now,
this
is wild.
Aaron and I have probably taken pictures. We probably waited for each other to move to take pictures in front of this house.
We for sure have. I'm for sure buying that sweatshirt. Is that okay if I am walking around with
the same
sweatshirt?
Oh my God, please. It was given to me by a friend when she got married. She got all of, it was actually a Wild Horses gift. She got all of us different colors of the, because we would mention Father of the Bride in almost every show somehow.
That is wild. I can't believe that. That is so cool.
It's so weird.
I tried to take a picture outside of the Breaking Bad house when I was in, New Mexico? Yeah, New Mexico. And people live in that house.
Yeah.
And there was like a person in the driveway. And so as I was driving by, I was like, nope, just keep driving by.
I wonder if they like it or like I tried to take a picture in front of the house that Dylan McKay lived in, like Luke Perry from 90210.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And the people did not look thrilled. But I feel like the Father of the Bride people, they have left that house looking exactly like it did in the movie. Like, you could paint it if you didn't want.
I feel like if you buy, right. like maybe JPC, I want to say maybe 25 minutes from us is the Home Alone house.
Yes.
And if you drive by it, it's like, if you buy that house, you have to know what you're buying.
Yes.
Like, you can't exactly. be like, why do people keep stopping by? Or like, this is annoying. It's like, you're buying a piece of cinematic history.
I think I would enjoy it if it was just the exterior. Yeah. I would not enjoy it if people like tried to get in, obviously. Yes, although with Home Alone, actually, you know what? They'd be entitled.
Yeah.
And they should.
And I will be prepared.
Because I've prepped it. Marbles on the floor.
You should not buy the Home Alone house because people will try to break in as a joke.
Absolutely.
That's just, you don't want to deal with that.
You'd have men's heads coming through that doggy door at, like, every couple minutes.
The Breaking Bad house, as I recall, there's a scene in Breaking Bad where they throw like a pizza on the roof of the house.
Yes.
And I do remember that there was a lot of people coming by and throwing pizzas on the roof of the house.
See, now
that
to me
would be bad.
Yeah, that's
you should, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah. If you leave it in the box, God bless, I'm eating free for life. But if you take it out of the box, it's ruined.
If you come up to me, knock on the door and say, hi, I used to live in this house. I have this pizza. I would love to throw it up on the roof. It'll be intact. I'll get it off the roof when I'm done, and then you can have the pizza. I'd be happy. Yeah. I'd be fine with that.
I did a bit with that house where I exploded an airplane above it.
You only do it once.
And I was like, hey, if you fucking moved into that house, man, you knew what you were getting into.
I do like the idea of Joe Pesci going to the Home Alone house and being like, I used to live here. Like, Joe Pesci.
We saw the movie, Joe.
I bought the Home Alone house. I know who you are.
Joe,
buddy.
The top of your hat is melted off, Joe. I mean, come on. Clean yourself up. We have one more. This is another one that I wrote. And I apologize, but there is no... There's no 90s rom-com connection to this one. So I apologize if it's
I'll take a little nap. It's okay.
Maybe there's a more recent rom-com connection. Okay, I'm happy
with
this.
We'll see.
Nothing makes you horny for sea creatures like living with a group of relocating rabbits while navigating post-Edwardian era social dynamics.
Okay, the rabbit
Watership
one,
Down.
Yeah, the Watership Down. Is Nemo in there?
No.
Under
this is
the
actually
water.
Being pretty. Nothing makes you horny for sea creatures. Watership Down is the middle one.
Horny for sea creatures.
Like living with a group of relocating rabbits while navigating post-Edwardian era social dynamics.
Watership trickle-down economics.
Is that? Wait, what was that like? What did you say?
Oh, I'm
Watership
just so excited.
Trickle-down economics.
It's not that. That's nothing.
What was the like kind of horny show?
Porny show.
But they're it's like Jane Austen, but they all have sex that everyone was into.
That's Bridgerton.
Bridgerton.
This is not Bridgerton.
You could tell I was a fan.
But I would say that you're in the right like area with kind of the craze that Bridgerton
Watership
was
Downton Abbey.
It is Watership Downton Abbey. So
and then we need something
missing...
that goes to water. So horny for sea creatures. That's pretty. That covers a wide. Patch of land.
How does horny for sea creatures cover a wide patch of land? Wouldn't it cover a wide patch of sea?
Thank you.
Could you read it one more time? I'm so sorry.
He is water over land.
Horny for sea creatures.
Now,
Nothing
Aaron,
makes you
Aaron Whitehead.
Yeah.
To win this question, can you count every sea creature under the water?
Oh God! Oh,
no, don't. Yeah, I agree, Aaron. I agree.
Nothing makes you horny for sea creatures like living with a group of relocating rabbits while navigating post-Edwardian era social dynamics. I will say, you've got Watership Downton Abbey, and you're looking for a movie.
Is it
The Little Mermaid?
Things are much hotter under the water. Ship Downton Abbey.
No, it is okay. The title of a movie that you are looking for.
Something water.
Oh, yes. What's the Michael Shannon and Lily? The Shape of Water ship. The Shape of Water ship.
Oh, yeah, she's horny for that
horny.
Gross water guy. I hated that.
She
movie.
Fucks sushi.
I did not like that movie at all.
I hated it.
I went with sea creature because what do you call that?
Like yeah, a, no, you're right.
I didn't want to say fish because he's not a fish.
Fish
but
man.
He kind of is.
Fish.
He's a
Nothing
fish
man. Makes you horny for a fish man. I hated that movie so much. I was like, yeah, this is the kind of guy women always go for. We don't need to see another movie about it.
Yeah, tale as old as time.
Wow. Tale as old as time.
Well, Aaron, we have to have you back on if we ever do a review of Shape of Water, please. Because I want to hear, I'm dying to hear your thoughts.
Then I'd have to watch it again, but okay.
Okay, well, thank you so much to Bailey. And I guess, in a way, thank you so much to me, because I also helped.
Cool.
I JPC. By the end, I love those riddles. I love those puzzles.
JPC, what does J and P and C stand for?
That's just my name. John Patrick Cohen, but I just go by my initials.
Well, no, it was your name. Thank you.
Oh, that's just my name.
I just realized we've gotten this far. I felt like I earned asking. At the beginning, I was too shy. But then I was like,
you know what? Because I just go by JPC because my name is Aaron Whitehead.
That would have been confusing. Yeah.
My dad, in the early days of Hey Riddle Riddle, to remember the order of letters of JPC's name, he thought JPC was very funny and remembered it by saying, just plain comedy.
Just plain comedy. Yeah,
that's what my dad thinks it stands for.
What's also, people get it wrong all the time too, because I don't know when it was when I was in like high school or college, JCPenney rebranded to just be JCP.
Oh, yes.
Which is like so close, but also so doesn't close. Really flow as well as JPC. So JCP, you're on notice.
So
for the first time, put you on notice.
You're on blast. I feel like we're ramping up towards the end, and I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't see at least 30 seconds. Aaron Whitehead. Are you comfortable, or do you feel like it's in your wheelhouse to do a Boston accent?
You know, I don't know if it's in there anymore.
Okay.
I haven't been around anyone from Massachusetts in so long. Like, I feel like I almost go more like, I can do the very basic one, like pack the cat and have it, yeah. But like that's, anybody can do that. You just change
I was going to say, I want to see a scene of the two Aarons at a high school reunion in Hingham. we don't need to see it.
I could just be, continue bragging about where I parked.
Pack the cat, MIT yard.
I packed the cat.
The law was very formal.
Yeah.
And that oh, guy.
I packed the cat Friendlies. I packed the cat
Friendlies
at Brigham's.
I packed my Honda Accord at Brigham's. I packed my Honda Accord at Brigham's. Oh, I miss Brigham's so much.
I loved Brigham's. I loved the Brigham. Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, just do JFK.
The raspberry lime Ricky from Brigham's is. I just got the
chocolate. Anything chocolate.
Oh. So good.
The chocolate lime Ricky. Disgusting.
I would absolutely get that.
Mm-hmm. Wait, well, speaking of things that we should absolutely get, that's a segue. Aaron, do you have anything, Aaron Whitehead, do you have anything that people could check out or anywhere that you would like to point people to?
Yeah, I'm at Girl with a Tale on, unfortunately, every social media platform you can find,
yeah.
Except TikTok. I can't figure it out. I'm too old. And listening to me and my co-host Seth Morris on our podcast College Town on Comedy Bang Bang World.
Adel, what about you? Anything you would like to plug?
I would like to plug. Oh boy, who did those riddles?
Bailey, yes.
I want to plug Bailey because those were outstanding riddles, and also whoever did those movie name riddles. I feel like this was some of the best listener submitted content we've had in a long time. So I will plug. People sending us their homegrown bespoke riddles and puzzles, hrrpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email, send us some games. Aaron, Keefe, anything you'd like to plug?
Just check out our Patreon, patreon.com/heyriddleriddle. I really want to get to the Columbo bonus episode DM'd by Anthony Birch. I think it's a ton of fun. And we are a few people away from that. So if you want to hear that episode, or just get a 1 week free trial and listen to as much as you can in that week, check out patreon.com/heyriddleriddle.
And I would like to read a 5-star review. If you want to get a 5-star review featured on the show, just go to wherever you leave the 5-star reviews, or like write one, make sure you click the 5-star button, and then I might read it on the show. Hey, today I'm reading one from Miss Mac 666. Miss Mac 666 writes, farts. It's sad when one of the highlights of your year is hearing JPC read the riddle you sent in about a fart. A+, I guess. Well, it's been a weird year for you, Miss Mac, but it's a weird year for all of us, and I'm glad that you got your fart riddle on the show. If you want to send a fart riddle, go ahead and email it to hrpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure that your subject line says fart and the body says fart. Oh, why'd I ask for that? Oh, in case you cut
no.
that out.
Yeah, JBC, cut that don't out. Do don't send that. That email. Please don't send do that.
And Aaron Keefe.
Yes.
Once again, speaking of gases, there is a planet out there that is mostly gas. What would that planet be?
Jupiter.
A man's head through your doggy door for life forever.
Created by Adel Refai. Starring Aaron Keith and John Patrick Cohen. Casey Tony did the editing. Mary Parrish in the music. Logo created by Emily Cardamus and Emmeline Morris.
Hey there, plomps and condolences. If you like that, you're going to love this week's Patreon. It's a holiday edition of Hey Relationship Relationship. You can listen to that plus our entire back catalog at patreon.com/heyriddleriddle by joining the Clue Crew for $5 a month or start your 7-day free trial or the Review Crew for $8 a month and you get those ad-free episodes. See you there.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.